I invited the group this morning to come back for the rest of the story. I had suggested that that's something Paul Harvey had to say, and for any of you that was younger than 50, I doubt if you know who he was. But in any case, I'm glad that you had to return, and those of you who are joining us this evening that was out this morning for the CYC, I'm glad you got safely returned. As Robin suggested, our theme this evening, might have been a little bit this morning as well, is this song. So if you want to keep it open in 366, it would probably be something that you can follow with me. The song does, and I told the group this morning, it's the oldest song, I believe, in our hymnals. Now you say, well, what about the text and Psalms 123 or something like that? Obviously, those are later. Or earlier. This song not only was translated in early 1900s and put in the music then, but it was originally sung by a singing minstrel in 700 AD. But before that, the story goes even further back to 400 AD. It's about a young man who lived obviously with his parents, was captured, resold as a slave, and he prayed to God often that he would, and they took him away to another place. He prayed to God often that he would be released, and eventually he managed to get away. And so when he did that, he got back to his home and decided that what he really wanted to do was become a missionary. And so he went to a seminary. The best there was at the time was in Paris. Eventually you'll find out where he's from, but I'll hold that out for yet. And so when he finished the seminary after several years, he prayed to God, where should he go to become a missionary? He went to the place that he was captured and held as a slave, which is kind of unique and different. But it goes more than that. When he was first there, he wasn't overly successful. He tried time after time to preach the gospel to a group that were pagans in every sense of the word. But he wasn't successful, as I said. Finally, just before Easter time, the policy had always been that the pagan king would light a bonfire, and they'd set up bonfires all the way through the land, and he alone was allowed to light the bonfire. Anyone doing it differently was subject to being executed. And so this young man, missionary at this point, decided to pray to God what he ought to do, and he decided he was going to light the bonfire before the king did, no matter what was going to happen. Now, he took his prayer and put it together, based really on Jeremiah, the 9th chapter, 23rd verse, if we want to look at that, 23rd and 24th. And this song was taken from that prayer. Who was the individual? Patrick. We know him as St. Patrick, and they celebrate on St. Patrick's Day, but he would have never liked that. And so when he lit the bonfire after he did his prayer, he was pretty certain he was going to be executed. And they brought him before the king. And the king said, yeah, we need to execute this guy. And he asked him why he did it. And he said, because Jesus ought to be in your heart, particularly at a time when we celebrate, the rest of Christendom celebrated his resurrection, and not a pagan holiday and festival. These were Druids from the Stonehenge group that was in England. This was obviously in Ireland, if you haven't figured that out yet. And so the king was so impressed with this young man and what he had done and the commitment that he had to the word and his willingness to die for it that he did not execute him. And he allowed him to continue his missionary effort. And after that, the effort was so well known that he converted the entire island, including the king. When we're looking at these words, and this was from his prayer, understand that this is what he had deeply felt, and he was willing to commit his life to it, even as young as he was. I think too often we pick up a songbook, and we start singing the song, but we do it almost rotely. We tend to not pay enough attention to the words. Now, I do a little more. I have an advantage over most of you, if not all of you. I can't sing. And I'm truly tone deaf, by the way. When I was at Pepperdine, I was taking a music appreciation class. It was a requirement, or I wouldn't have done it. And one of the midterm was that you had to identify the notes on the piano as he played them. Well, he had the piano towards us. I memorized all the keys, so I knew exactly what he was doing by the fact when he hit the keys, I memorized the notes, which I got an A for. That was impressive. When we took the final, he turned the piano around, and I failed it miserably. He called me in and wanted to know what I was doing, how did I get the midterm right, and so messed up with the final. I explained to him what he did, and he didn't believe I could do that. And I said, well, turn the piano around, and I'll do it again for you. And I did. And he said, well, I'm going to give you a B just for that reason. So instead of getting a C, or worse perhaps, because I got a total F on the other one, I can't hear the notes. So I'm one of those truly tone deaf. So I pay attention to the words. I would urge all of us, as we're looking at our songs, to listen not only to the words that we're saying and the praise we're doing, but the meaning behind them. I suppose most of you know the history of them, Amazing Grace, and John Newton wrote this song. He was initially a captain. He was a seaman, but then he became a captain. A slave captain ship is what he did. He ran them several times, and he finally just got fed up with it, decided it wasn't correct, and eventually he went into the ministry, and he wrote a whole bunch of songs. Amazing Grace was one of them. It does us well to look at our praises to our Lord, and to think about the words that we're saying, because it is from our hearts. That's really what Paul's talking about in Colossians 3 and Ephesians 5. Praises from the heart. Deep down in from the mind, if you will. So be thou my vision, if you will, was a prayer that Patrick made a long time ago. Roughly 433 AD that he had done this. Again, the singing minstrel picked that up and made it into a song in 700 A.D., and finally it was translated in 1900. So it becomes our oldest song. But it has a great deal to say to it. It's asking, be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. And behind that is something that says, God, I need you there all the time. I need you in my heart. I need whatever you can give me. Not be all else to me save that thou art. God be God. Now, that's an odd statement. How can we keep God from being anything different? There's a cliche that went around the seminaries, and it's one of those things where God made us in his image, and humanity has done everything it can since to alter that, for us to try to make God into our image, a reversal. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, the 21st chapter, 26th verse, consider your calling, brethren, that we're not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame those things which are strong. And base the things of the world and the despised God has chosen. The things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are. So that no man may boast. What this song will tell us eventually is that he only wants to boast in what God has given him. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Probably the part that I enjoy the most is the next one. Thou my best thought, by day or night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. 24/7. I said something along those lines this morning, a different reference in Romans. What the prayer is from Patrick, the song is trying to say, is that the greatest thought you can have 24/7 is God. All your other thoughts pale by comparison. They're just not as effective as thinking about what God wants us to do and the God Almighty that created this universe. That was what he wanted to be thinking about day or night at any time. William Booth, if the name sounds a little bit familiar, Salvation Army, the person that started the Salvation Army in the 1800s. And his success has been fairly phenomenal. But he was asked, how was he able to accomplish what he managed to do to help the poor and the invalid and those outside, the marginalized people? He said, well, that was easy. God just placed them in front of him, and he couldn't do anything less. He spent his life trying to help those who were afflicted, those who had no home, those who didn't get to eat, the young people as well. God was by far and away his best thought, day or night, waking or sleeping. He was the presence in his life. Be thou my wisdom and thou my true word. God is sovereign at every point. I ever with thee and thou with me. Lord, God and God only is what we ought to be having in our hearts. James suggests that those of us that want to be wise ought to be looking for God for wisdom. Not the wisdom of the world, but to God, the wisdom of understanding, of caring, of relational aspects, of wanting to commit our lives 24/7 to the God that created us. Thou, my great Father, and I, thy true son and daughter, thou on me dwelling, and I with thee one. He wants to make certain that when he aligns himself with God, that God is taking him in and only allowing him to be thinking about him, about the God. Thou in me dwelling, God inside of him, and I with thee one. He wants to align himself with the God of the universe is his number one thought. Ah, would we all gain from that kind of perspective? The God in our thoughts 24/7, and to try to be as much in tune with God as we possibly can. That was Patrick's prayer, if you will. One of the verses that tends to be left out of the song is this one, and I'm glad that ours has it in there. Be thou my battle shield, sword for the fight. Be thou my dignity, thou my delight. The sword that he had in mind was not the fact that he could be a most powerful soldier, but the Lord's sword, the scriptures. That's the sword that he's begging God to have. Be my buckler. Be there for me. Hand me that sword. Be my shield. Be my protector, if you will. Not from what's going to come from them, but from the wiles of the devil or perhaps those spiritual entities. Paul talks about him in the latter part of the 8th chapter of Romans, where he suggests that there's no question that the battle is not with humanity, if you will, but the spiritual beings that have grabbed humanity and have taken them and separated them from the God of the universe. That's the battle we have to have. And we need God as our shield. We need God to help us with our sword. And we can only do that by looking at his word, to better understand him in every sense that we possibly can. To be aligned with him in every way that we possibly can. To have him in our thoughts in every way we possibly can. We're strong in the Lord, if you will, so that we can make that great fight. Paul describes something similar in the 6th chapter of Ephesians, where he's talking about the whole armor of God and all the pieces that you need there. It's not to be making them a better Roman soldier. It's to be making them a better Christian, a better committed individual to the God of the universe. It's not our opinions that count. It's the Lord's word. It's not our experience that really makes the difference, but we need to be strong in the Lord. It's not your bank account that makes you more important. It's how much treasure you've laid up in heaven. Jesus tells his disciples something similar to that in the 10th chapter of Matthew. It's not even our intellectual capacities. And the last analysis is what our commitment is to the God of the universe. Be thou my soul's shelter, thou my high tower. We have another song in our songbook that we sometimes sing, Mighty Fortress. I've forgotten the number of it. You can look it up. Martin Luther wrote that, 1547 or so. And that mighty fortress is not some building. Martin didn't think of it in terms of that. The mighty fortress is God, right in the song. That's what he's praying here for. Thou my soul's shelter. Thou my high tower, if you will. Raise thou me heavenward, O power of my power. Let us look to heaven, if you will, remembering that God is not a geographic location that we place from a spatial standpoint. How can he be up there, and how come the cosmonauts or Sputniks and ours and all the rest of them that we've seen up there, how come they never found God? That's sometimes a question that's thrown out. That's because God is not in location. God created this universe. God is with us as well. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise or gain, depends on which version of the song you have. Thou my inheritance, now and always. Our treasure is the Lord's. Our treasure is what God has given us. Our treasure is the fact that we have Jesus Christ in our lives. Our treasure is our death, burial, and resurrection with the Lord. That's all that he was looking for. Not man's empty praises, nor gains. We always joke that you can't take it with us, but how many of us put so much effort into doing it, gaining, instead of using that talent, perhaps financial, and helping others? Thou and thou only, first in my heart, high King of heaven, my treasure thou art. He wanted nothing but Jesus and God as his number one. That was where he felt his treasure was. Remember, Patrick is making this prayer, and there's no question in his mind he's going to be executed. There's just none. He knows what he's about to do, like that bonfire, to get the attention of those people against the Druids, to get their attention so that they might follow his message, what little time he had left. But what he's praying for is, high King of heaven, my treasure you are, or thou art. Jesus tells us and his disciples in that Sermon on the Mount, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust will destroy it, where thieves break in and steal it, but store up your treasures in heaven. Where do we find our treasures? How about the fruit of the Spirit? Our fellowship with one another. Service in the name of Jesus Christ. Not our name, not taking the glory for it, not patting ourselves on the back because we helped somebody, but in the name of Jesus. Perhaps that's what Jesus had meant when he was in the 25th chapter of Matthew. There are those who are going to come and say, I did this, Lord, and he says, I never knew you. Because they did it for their own pride. They did it thinking of themselves. They're doing it for the praise of humanity, not for the praise of their Savior. Walking in the truth with the Scriptures, that's how we store up values in heaven. And a witnessing to those who need our Lord and Savior. High King of Heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befalls, still be my vision, O ruler of all. His last words in his prayer is looking at God. His assuming victory was his. There was no question he was doing what God wanted him to do in his mind. You'll see something similar to that when Jeremiah is talking about in that 9th chapter. Or, how about the 96th chapter, the 96th Psalms? If you've never looked at that, sing a new song. The writer of that song was talking to the Jews that were still in Babylon on their way. Hopefully they were going to return. They weren't going to return to a temple. They weren't going to return to walls, but they weren't existing. They weren't going to come back to anything except, our Gloria said it in the class the other evening, rubble. But he said, sing a new song. Put that in your heart. Put God in your heart. That's the song you want to sing. Not the fact that you're going to come back to a beautiful temple and Jerusalem that's all ready for you. Sing a new song. That was what the psalmist is begging him to do. And that's what Patrick really says here. High King of Heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still my vision, ruler of all. Patrick, when he does this, is the same kind of prayer you and I ought to be having. Oh God, be with me. Be everything. Be all my thoughts. Help me look at my treasure as that which I have in heaven and not what's on earth. If I'm able to have that talent, and there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. Financial talent is a value, but use it for God. If you've got intellectual capabilities, use it for the Lord. Look and study those scriptures and be able to communicate it effectively. Talent, we should not negate in terms of intellectualism or financial gain. But we ought to be using it for that high King of Heaven. That's what our hearts ought to be. And so when we look at this song, and you ever sing it again, think about how long ago this individual and all the trauma that he went through, being a slave at times, pulled away from his home, coming back and getting a message as far as he was concerned from God to return to that group that had put him in slavery. What an amazing effort to have done. A saint? I don't know. All of us are saints. And Patrick would have told you the same thing. Not to be put on a pedestal at all. But to look out there and say, God, you are my thought 24/7. We're going to sing this song again. I would urge you to think about the words that are in there. Thank you.